Before we get too far ahead of ourselves, we like to talk to our sports injury experts over at Crivetti Orthopedics. Go online, CrivettiOrtho.com. It's Dr. Mike Crivetti and Dr. Caleb Pinneger. How are you guys?
Good, fantastic. Yeah. Thanks for having us today.
It's night's day.
In the same month, Starkus and Dr. Pinneger, I outdressed. You could have given odds at the Westgate 6 months ago if that would happen in our lives. What would it be? I would have opened as a plus 1,200. Underdog?
Yeah. Dr. Pinneger thought you were my well-dressed friend. He didn't know it was you.
No. But they're both here with their Vegas Golden Knight gear, and they are excited for the show.
Awesome. Yeah, would you call this underdressed? I mean, this is what should be happening right now.
You usually roll in here on it. It definitely is, my friend.
So I guess it's casual day at Crivetti Orthopedics.
Today is Knight's Day at Crivetti Orthopedics. We are well-dressed and ready for game time.
Go Knight.
Yeah, so what's it like for you guys, though, to get ready for these awesome games that happen and, seeing this community completely in a frenzy over Golden Knights hockey?
Yeah, three or four years ago, and one of the guys came to me and said, I need you to get some tickets. We got to get 10,000. And I said, tickets for what? And he says, for ice hockey in Las Vegas. I said, okay, that's funny.
So you were part of the original drive.
And okay. Our seats today, when I showed up day one, and an emotional day after October 1st, right. And sat down, and I'm sitting right in the middle, and I've got some of the best friends ever made, and this changes the community. So
that's
thank goodness
cool.
for the Golden Knights.
That's very cool. You will leave here and get there right away today.
Oh, I'll be there early today.
There you go. Okay, let's go through this before because we've got so much to talk about the injuries today. Have you seen any hockey? How many hockey players in your careers have you seen? When you cover hockey, they don't give you much information for the media. It's always upper or lower body injury. What the hell? I don't even know what the hell that means most of the time. Most of the time, we don't even ask anymore because I'm like upper or lower. But in your experience with hockey players, do you see more types of injuries than others?
The knee injuries, I think we talked previously, the MCLs are pretty common in the hockey players. Otherwise, of course, it's the bumps and bruises because they're taking a big check against the boards, right. The head injuries, the dental injuries are huge in the hockey players. But knees are a big one in the hockey guys.
We took care of my residency. We took care of the Dayton Bombers.
Oh, okay, cool.
ECHL, right. Dayton ECHL. Bombers. And I only got one word for that, stitches.
Really?
Lots of stitches.
A lot of them.
There were a lot of fists. There were a lot of stitches.
Concussions?
I don't know. I don't think we talked about them back then.
No, that's interesting. Yeah. I mean, Neil goes down the other night, and man, they have him in the protocol in a second. Nowadays, I mean, you're off and you're in that protocol.
But back in
the day, maybe not. I don't know what the protocol in the back in the day was. All right, your shift's up. Let's go. Your line's up.
Always amazed me. These guys would come out of the penalty box, maybe jawing in the penalty box, come out and just go at it, right? Right back in the penalty box. Then after the game, and we're putting stitches in one. We were the doc for both teams.
Okay.
So we would take care of both of them when they were in our home court in Dayton. And the guy that he got in a fight with comes walking through the door. Bro, great punch. Oh, that guy in the right of the eye. He's like, look at my fist. Look, there's this big cut right here on the front of it. That's your face, dude. I'm like, okay. These guys are tough.
They can just let it go and go on.
They're insanely tough.
CrivettiOrtho.com is the website, and we're joined by sports injury experts Dr. Caleb Pinneger and Dr. Crivetti as well. So we're going through a couple of stories, and one of them was in Boston where reliever Carson Smith had a glove rage incident, not where something happened to him where he got hurt by anyone else, but he threw his own glove in frustration, and apparently he threw his arm out at the same time. What exactly happened there?
Well, not seeing a video, of course, you throw the glove, you're in anger, your arm whips back, and it sounds like they call it a subluxation. So the term subluxation, that means that the arm didn't fully dislocate, but it came partway out. And so his ball and socket joint of the shoulder is what they're questioning, and so he almost dislocated the shoulder, but did enough damage that, of course, it sounds like they're getting MRIs and getting multiple evaluations by specialists to see, did he tear his labrum? The labrum is the big tissue in question after this episode.
Subluxation, what does that mean exactly?
Yeah, from a big fight in hockey to a fight with your glove.
Yeah.
lost both, right?
Baseball players.
Yeah, think about your shoulder, right? It's a ball and socket, but it has a seal around it. And that seal, now think about a plunger, a toilet plunger on a basketball. So you got a seal around that socket. Okay. So when that shoulder partly comes out, the seal gets broken, and that's called tearing your labrum. So that's a subluxation. If it pops all the way out, then we run out in the field, and he screams, and we pull.
It's throwing 100 miles an hour, 90 in the mid-90s, but you're throwing a glove, and there's no compression or something like that. What makes throwing the ball at 90 miles an hour so much safer than throwing the glove at that kind of rate? because you're throwing with something with no power or no weight or distribution right underneath it.
And it's bad luck. It's bad mechanics. He just was doing something different than he normally does. Of course, your windup, your follow through, everything so structured in a true throw of a baseball. But he just, in frustration, chucked this thing and. Bad luck, man.
Now, they put him on the 10-day DL. The way you're speaking, it sounds a lot more serious than the 10-day DL. So if it was this supplication, or you're going to help me here, but 10 days? I mean, it seems like this would be longer. This guy's not coming back in 10 days, or could he?
So if he's just stretched some ligaments, not torn the labrum, then, you know, you rest the shoulder, you do some physical therapy, you make sure his range of motion and strength are all 100%, and he's back on the field.
Really?
But if he's torn his labrum... That's not going to be a 10-day fix.
Yeah, the MRI that he gets a special MRI where they put a dye in the shoulder.
To see.
Yeah, that really increases the accuracy of the MRI. So even that dye itself will slow down his rehab just a minute for the first few days. So it's safe to put him on for 10 days. Let's see what happens when the MRI comes back. Labral injury, then they make a decision where they're going from there.
Torn labrum, he's out for the year.
You know, if he sublux or dislocated it, you know, a first-time dislocator, if he's never done this before, you rehab him, it's going to take longer than 10 days.
Right.
But maybe not done for the year. He can still come back. But if he's done enough damage and if the shoulder's unstable, then guaranteed he's out.
We have to cover this story. We talked about it earlier this week where James Tallien, a pitcher with the Pirates, is undergoing like a repetitive injury with his right middle finger. His thumb continues to cut it when he throws the curveball. So now he has this deep gash in his middle finger of his right hand, throwing hand. And what the team has now decided to do to fix the wound is to do the old Moises Alou. We're going to
urinate
on your hand to kind of fix the blister. That helped Rich Hill of the Dodgers a couple years ago when they acquired him.
Usually we're not urinating around here until Starkus comes in with the booze.
And normally we know this at Crevetti Ortho. This is not what you guys
specialize. It's not what you teach.
But have you
ever offered that to anyone, to be frank. If you come to my office, I will not urinate on you.
It's not like one of the deals with the employee of the month where you're like, you know what, we need to do it in a closet here.
Someone over
minutes.
At that office didn't wear their VGK stuff today, and they're being urinated on as we speak. Because it's VGK day at Crevetti Orthopedics.
I would normally dump that, but we're going to keep that going.
Well, yeah, keep going.
So even when you were with you watch the Dayton team. How do certain people and at least athletes go and deal with blisters like this? Have you heard of this? Does it work?
Okay, I haven't heard of this.
Okay,
I realize I outdate my younger partner by several years, but I will turn to him for his advice here because I've never urinated on a patient either. So you're safe at Crevetti Orthopedics.
So it's historical. There's been some guys who, and of course you're trying to think of a player who's making a large amount of money and he is desperate, and so he's had a buddy who's told him, hey, look,
yep.
One of my buddies had a problem with a blister or a cut on his hand, and you know what? I mean, he peed on it and he got better. They're hiding this, but in truth, it's these guys. There's not sound research behind it. There's not any proof. In truth, if you look at a dermatologist, the component of your urine that's responsible for this factor that they're looking for, it's called urea, and it actually softens your skin. So if you're trying to get the thing to heal or callus up or be stronger, it's actually counterproductive.
The UFC fighter Machida he drinks urine before his fights. But that's probably one of those things where someone said they did it and they want to fight, and it's like, oh, it works.
Let's keep it
probably
going.
Doesn't really work.
Right. Anecdotal.
I'd like to throw a little advice out there. Do not try this at home.
We're breaking all the guidelines of our monthly appearance here, and it's all hit the hell. So we also talk about Steph Curry, and Dr. Caleb Pinneger and Dr. Mike Crevetti here with us, CrevettiOrtho.com. Steph Curry, we've been analyzing his knees, his ankles. You have said that, yes, he's not going to be able to play at premium right now, but he is going to have a hard time getting back on defense, and that's exactly what we saw in this series where the Rockets were going right at him. Do you find that when you have all these different kinds of knee and ankle injuries, your ability to move laterally or back up are considerably hindered?
Yeah, without weak we know his ankles are because of how many times he's injured his ankles, his ability to cut, twist, turn, his really quick dynamic responses is limited, and now he has the knee injury with that. So of course, I mean, an opposing team is going to take advantage of that. They're going to. It's all about knowing your opponent. I mean, if your opponent can't lay up left, you push him left every time. If your opponent can't guard this side, you always go that way. It's smart gameplay, and of course, the other teams are going to study that, and so that will limit him.
No, I've got one I want to ask you about in terms of Troy Tulowitzki, because now I'm going to be again, because I always do this when you're in here, I'm going to say something that's completely silly and stupid, but it just comes to my mind. Troy Tulowitzki is trying to get over bone spurs in both feet. I hear bone spurs, I think 70 years old. Why am I wrong there? I just hear that, you know, bone spurs, you hear all these things about athletes, but he's trying to get over bone spurs. How common are bone spurs? And why is it so hard for Troy Tulowitzki to get over these things? Because he's been on the shelf for a while. He's battled these things for a long time.
A bone spur, there's multiple kinds of bone spurs. These either occur at a joint because of wear and tear. So you're developing bone spurs where the joint itself is okay. Losing cartilage, losing cushion. The body builds bone spurs. Or this is a traction spur. So he's either on the bottom of the foot where there's some strong ligaments on the foot, or on the upper part of the heel where his Achilles tendon's really pulling. Of course, baseball's great at hiding. We don't really know what's going on, which right. side of his heel this spur was on, but the spur's in response to one of those. This is not arthritis type of spur.
Okay. How common is that? Anyone can get them? Any age?
Yeah. I mean, you hear of a lot of people with plantar fasciitis.
I've heard of that.
It's that tight band underneath your foot that causes you excruciating pain in the morning. Your calves are tight, and that's where one of these spurs develop, which, you know, it's pretty common in like the 30, 40-year-old.
Wow.
What ages for bone spurs, though? I mean, one thing for an athlete, you have to go and take surgery one at a time, right? Dr. Crivetti, you have to do the left, then your right. Yeah, you can't do them all at once.
If you even need surgery, right? You even need it. A lot of these can be treated with a cortisone injection. Some of these, quote-unquote, traction spurs, you look at an x-ray, there's a spur. The plantar fasciitis is treated great with an injection. Also, PRP, this new platelet-rich plasma where we spin down your blood and put a high concentration of a great anti-inflammatory, a great recruiter of healing, and we bring those in. So that's great for the plantar fasciitis, for the Achilles tendon, where there's a real rich blood supply. So surgery is not always indicated in these injuries.
We were talking about Robinson Cano earlier this week, being suspended 80 games for using a banned diuretic. And what we wanted to ask you was, how often do you come into contact with athletes or people that are maybe trying to, you know, maybe look better? They're not athletes professionally, but they're trying to use the things that they see on other athletes using, like banned diuretics, to flush things out of their system. How often do you guys come across that?
It depends on, of course, the level of athlete. I mean, the higher the competition, the more prep these guys are trying to do, and the more they're trying to get an edge on their opponent, who's already quite good. And so you see that in a very highly competitive level, and otherwise people are taking, you know, supplements and things to just help them stay fit and active. So I don't see the diuretics in, of course, your everyday population, but the diuretics are used by some of the athletes in a higher level play because, like you said, they're trying to flush out another drug. We usually see that in more like the wrestlers or the boxers who are trying to cut weight, because a diuretic doesn't build your muscle. A diuretic makes you lose water.
And it masks other things that could be there.
It flushes right. out other substances that you don't want somebody to catch. So that's the real question. Was he taking a diuretic because he has high blood pressure, or was he hiding something else that they can't yet find?
Can you ever look at film or physiques and right away you're saying you have to ask the person, what are you doing?
Every day.
Okay, will you look at a film and how the muscle is stretched, or can you look at someone's, whether it's MRI or X-rays, and not even maybe not by looking at the person, but just looking at the X-ray, could you look and say this doesn't look like the normal whatever you would be 25-year-old muscle or how it's happened? So right away you would say, are we doing something here? Because I need to know that.
Nah, it's more of what you see them in the office. They walk through the door.
You know right away.
Yeah, you know you're 55 and you're insanely ripped up. I'm in my 50s. Ripped up is over. You know, we work hard in the gym.
But you know, pretty fast.
Something's up. I mean, it's part of our conversation with patients now. Tell us about HGH. Tell us about testosterone.
Right.
You know, I'm feeling a little sluggish. I'm taking a little test. You know, here's my level. So we see that. It's a super big question right now. And we also see some injuries, like some of these tendon injuries. So you got a guy doing a little testosterone. He's in the gym doing squats. He's pretty bulky. Next thing you know, he tears his quad tendon. Yeah, because he's weakening that insertion by building such incredible muscle at his or her age. So it's important to monitor that stuff, let me tell you.
That's amazing that you can. I mean, I would think that you guys could watch, look at someone and just, you have a question pretty quickly.
Well, we got a guy down by us, and I'm not throwing out a commercial, but his name's Tommy Alfredo, Dr. Alfredo, Health for Life, and, you know, it's all about doing it right. So it's all laboratory-based. It's all, it's just the right amount. There's, you're not going to get, you know, shots in your butt and go to the gym at our
right.
place. You know,
so. Right.
What is the future of performance-enhancing drugs or other treatments that could be done, maybe not to, like, kind of skirt the system, but we talk about, like, stem cells and the usage of that. How do you find the advent of that technology coming into play now with professional sports?
Well, they're pretty different mechanisms. So a lot of these performance-enhancing drugs, you're trying to be quicker, be stronger. The stem cell treatments and the PRP that we've discussed, these are trying to help your body heal. These aren't aimed at building gigantic muscles and making you faster. In a person who's got an injury or who has a strain of a muscle or a tendon or some early arthritis, that's where people are looking for these stem cell-based injections or the PRPs, and that's where we're starting to see some help there.
Yeah, stem cells, if you think about them in a very rudimentary way, they're just baby cells. And then they need a signal to become something. So your body provides that signal, but it requires a high blood flow area because we got all the different chemicals to turn on these baby cells and turn them into muscle cells or turn them into bone cells or turn them into something that can help you. Where we're not seeing it super effective, and we talk a lot to our patients because it's very expensive. You know, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 sometimes is in arthritis. So cartilage is not alive. And that's why we operate on a lot of cartilage injuries in our office, because they won't heal on their own. So to use stem cells in an area that isn't alive is really difficult. It won't build cartilage. We've been trying for so many years to build cartilage, and we just haven't been able to. And stem cells haven't shown yet scientifically to be able to do that.
I'll give you a broad question. Obviously, you could never talk about it specifically, but back to the supplements and when you notice things, how quickly does the red flag raise up if it's a high school kid and, you know, they're doing, and they walk in, you're like, well, we got to have a talk here. Instead of the 55-year-old who's going to do what he's going to do and, you know, you're just going to fix him, but the 16-year-old walks in and have you had that where the red flag, like, something's going on here beyond what I see?
Hey, you see the young guy come in, he's been in the off season for 3-4 months and suddenly he's got stretch marks all over his pecs.
Right.
He's got bulky deltoids, and you're like, what did you do all summer? Oftentimes it's a pretty dramatic and quick change, and you're like, you know, it raises the question. And of course,
and where does you, in terms of being the doctors, what's your next step there if it is a kid? Is the discussion with him? Is the discussion with someone else? Or it's not, let's say it's not a 55-year-old, where's the responsibility in that in terms of your mind when you see a kid? Do you at least have to say, what are we doing here?
Yeah, the nice thing about our practice after these 20 years is it's a friends and family deal now. You know, so you know them. We're taking care of people. We've got a little bit of credibility when they walk in the door because they already know a friend we've taken care of. So our conversations with some of these kids, we're ex-athletes. We get it, right? So first conversations with the kid. Remember, the parents are always with them if they're under 18. So
in the room.
It's a requirement that the parent be there with them. So sometimes we can just ask the question. It's just a simple gaze. A gaze over to mom or dad, and it just comes, you know, and then we start talking about the benefits. If the parent hasn't already come to us before we go in the room and say, I need your help here.
Okay.
Because
that would happen.
Parents aren't dummies.
Right.
You know,
they know what's going on.
So.
My guess is, have you actually operated on kids of parents you operated on? Has that ever happened? Have you ever operated on a kid of a parent you operated on?
Oh, for gosh sakes, yeah. After 20,
really?
Oh, my goodness. After all these years, how about a grandmother, the kid, and then the grandson, and then in the middle, the son? Yes, for many, many
times.
Around
the Christmas tree, and all have had ACLs done by the Corvetti orthopedic folks. I mean, can you imagine that? Grandma, how are you doing?
Hey, great. We got some ox cartilage for you. It's going to be great. You're going to be fine. Go online to CorvettiOrtho.com. We always tell you to do that because not only do they tell you exactly what they do, but they have customers, or I'm sorry, clients of their own. They give these great testimonials. What's it like, though, when people go and give their, like, testimonials? You got a whole page full of all these first-class, you know, people are very thankful for you being in the Valley. And there's not many guys like you to do the sports injury in the sports medicine the way you do it.
Well, gee, thank you, Clay. That's awesome, man. You know, when they do the testimonial, I don't even like to be in the room. I want it to be open. I want it to be honest, you know. And I'm a little mushy these days. So
very sensitive guy.
Well, the Golden Knights are about to go to the Stanley Cup Finals, my friend.
That'll shed a tear as well. But I'm getting a little mushy as I get older, so I don't like to be in there. But, you know, when I mention their friends and the family and the grandmothers and the grandfathers and the kids, and, you know, it's just been what a dream it's been to be here. So when I see those testimonials, it just reinforces that keep being great to people. Keep taking great care of him, and my younger partner falls right into that. And if you see how people fall in love with this guy already, it's been a great start for he and I.
Especially when he has the suit on. Come on,
he looks good in the suit. What can I tell you?
He's doing well for himself.
Man looks good in the suit. Yeah, with all that hair.
We know you guys are busy. We know you got to get going to T-Mobile Arena. Everyone's heading out. It's like an exodus.
I might actually, as I said, if they leave, I might go.
Right, at 2 o'clock, this place will be tumbleweeds. We thank you, Dr. Mike Crivetti, Dr. Caleb Pinniger, the sports injury experts of Southern Nevada. Over at CrivettiOrtho.com. Thanks again.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Go Knights.
There he is. They're going to the game. They're all dressed up. They're excited. 2-1. Puck drops at 5. Vegas Golden Knights versus Winnipeg Jets. Vegas Golden Knights leading the series 2-1. If you want to see that quote, I just retweeted it on Flurry tickling Wheeler's ear, which was an awesome quote.
God, that was so good.
Oh, it was a great quote by Wheeler. I didn't know it was happening. Things are getting weird here. Well, you're licking people and tickling people now. NHL's lost its mind a little with the craziness that's happening.
Yeah, it's not all the old goon league anymore. I mean, these guys are getting kind of creative with the way they are getting in somebody's head. Yeah. And I love it. And it's just one of the great stories that are coming out of this series. And we'll talk a little bit more about the Golden Knights with Game 4 coming up next. We'll also have Scott Bylo here as well coming up next here on the Press Box.
That's the sound Cosmic.
Take a look at traffic here. Watch out for the crash in 95 northbound.